CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine crisis and the attendant energy crisis in Europe. Germany has an answer. Olaf Scholz, the chancellor of the German government, is going along with the expert a panel opinion that Germany subsidize residents and businesses up to $200 billion in the coming winter to get through the high electricity costs and the uncertainty of energy sources. However, therein lies a challenge to the EU, and I welcome Stanley Pignal, the Charlemagne correspondent for The Economist, and I've followed Stanley's explication of Germany as an exceptional partner of the EU and now a well-to-do exceptional partner. Stanley, a very good day to you. Thank you very much. You have an image at the beginning of your column of people lined up outside of a food bank, worthy and eager to get inside and stock up. However, a large fancy car, let's call it a Tesla, pulls up in front. A man or woman or both get out with lots of cash in their hands and go in and buy the whole food bank. They buy it all and they put it back in their Tesla and drive away. That is your image of how the rest of the EU regards the German proposal to subsidize. How so? What is the challenge to Europe that Germany has the money to spend? Good evening to you.
Good evening. It's not so much a Tesla. It's really a BMW or a Mercedes. This is Germany, which is the biggest economy in the EU, but also one of the richest, saying we have space, we have the capacity in our government finances to subsidize households and businesses that need help getting through this exceptional winter and this energy shortage that Europe is going through. Now, this is very good news for German households and German businesses, but it kind of sticks in the craw for the rest of Europe, which is currently short of gas as well, and is wondering if German businesses are going to get huge government subsidies to finance their energy bills. Are businesses in other places like Spain, like Italy, like France, where the government's don't really have as much money to splurge, are they going to be able to compete? So Germany, by unveiling this very popular and very big package at home, has caused problems in the rest of the EU.
And the problems are attendant to the overall concern that Germany's had for years about the profligacy or inattention of other countries in the EU to pay attention to the budget. So we need to explore that, and you have in previous columns. As I understand, the EU came together with several agreements, and one was how much of a deficit any particular country of the 27 members would show in a fiscal year. And the other was how much they would borrow against the GDP. In other words, up to what percentage could you borrow? And Germany has stayed well within those limits for years. But as I recall, in the Great Recession of 2008-2009, the southern tier of the EU was not able to follow those rules. And that makes Germany exceptional, even before the pandemic and the war in Ukraine, exceptional. Is that a source of long-standing resentment? I mean, does that drive this present controversy?
Very much so. I mean, the resentment really boiled over during the Eurozone crisis, which came after the great financial crisis of 2007 to 2009. And there, what happened is all the countries of the Eurozone, not the entire European Union, but the Eurozone, obviously they share a currency. And the concern is that if one country borrows too much, it can't really default on its government debts without causing enormous problems. And therefore, there's a moral hazard. If you're Greece or if you're Italy or if you're Portugal, for example, you get to borrow as much as you want, and Germany bails you out in the end. That was kind of the assumption that the Germans were very keen to avoid, and thus they have been very keen to impose limits on how much deficit you can have, as you said, 3% a year, and how much total debt you can have, which is 60% overall. Now, everybody has blown through those limits because of the pandemic and now because of the energy crisis. But Germany is still keen for there to be a certain degree of budget rigor. In the good years, you shouldn't run a deficit. And if you need it in the bad years, you might be able to splurge, for example, to help your industries and to help your households. And this is where we come full circle, because this is exactly what Germany is doing. Germany is now having economized, having not spent freely in what were good years before the pandemic, now has a lot of fiscal space. It has the ability to support its businesses. It is doing that. And the countries that did splurge throughout the whole period, like France, like Italy, like Southern Europe, are saying, well, that's unfair. So this really goes to the heart of whether the European Union is a union, how much it does things together, for example, borrow money together, have a common budget like the United States has, have redistribution between different states like the United States has, and how much it's a looser confederation of 27 different countries that cooperate on some things but remain fundamentally separate.
Bruno Le Maire, I learned from your reporting, France's finance minister, has a recommendation that we look at the energy crisis the same way the EU looked at the pandemic crisis of 2000 to 2003. What would that look like? What is the NGEU?
So the NGEU was the solution to a very similar fiscal crisis that we went through just a couple of years ago. Germany decided, as was quite reasonable during the pandemic, that it would subsidize its businesses. For example, airlines. Take airlines as an example of businesses that needed help. Now, it was able to do that because it's Germany and it has lots of money. But then the rest of Europe complained, well, wait a second, if Germany is able to help its airlines, we should be able to help our airlines as well, and our steelmakers and all our other industries as well. So the way to square that circle is that Germany, in essence, threw money into the European pot and agreed to a very large fund that would be raised by the entire EU. But what it entails is rich countries giving money to poor countries. And that's the way that you kind of keep the peace in Europe. Obviously, Southern Europeans, who tend to be the recipients of this largesse, are very keen on it. And Northern Europeans, Germany, but also the Dutch, the Danes, the Swedes, a bunch of countries known as the Frugals, are very keen to avoid setting this precedent because, quite simply, it just isn't very popular in the Netherlands or in Denmark to take public money and to give it to places like Italy or like Greece, which are felt, maybe inaccurately, but which are felt to be just a little bit more profligate with their public spending.
There is an additional concern because this controversy is not settled. There is a model for settling it, but it is not endorsed in any fashion. This is an ongoing case, and I follow Stanley's reporting up to date. There is a case made in a new report from UPI that the concern is that not that this is this year or because of the energy crisis, that this will become a model for subsidizing in the future, and that would give Germany a great advantage. Is that precluded in the original Eurozone agreements or the EU agreements, that permanent subsidies are unacceptable as a for member states?
Yeah, so this goes to the very core of what the European does. One of the things it does is it prevents national governments from subsidizing their own industry. This is very different to the United States, where states in the union will compete with each other, providing subsidies to big companies, trying to induce them to get to move from one state to the other state with tax packages and so on. In the EU, that is, in theory, completely forbidden. We have what's meant to be a level playing field, but obviously the state, the various member states had to give money to their businesses during the pandemic, and now it is felt in most countries that the war in Ukraine has kicked up unexpected expenses for businesses again, and therefore they need to be helped. So that there's a natural tension there between the state needing to intervene and the EU always having been against the idea of national governments helping their companies.
Germany's rich. Some countries are not as rich or want to be as rich as Germany. Is Germany sensitive to this analysis? Are they on the defensive? What is your read, Stanley?
Yeah, I mean, very much on the defensive since they unveiled this very large, this $200 billion protective shield on energy. There is a degree of incomprehension in the rest of Europe, which is linked to another factor which we haven't mentioned, which is part of the reason why Europe is going through an energy crunch is because of Germany. Germany is the country that became most dependent on Russian gas. It quite recently built pipelines from Russia straight into the industrial heartland of Germany. It famously is in the process of shutting down all its nuclear plants. And therefore, there's a feeling that, wait a second, like Germany is part of the reason why we are in this mess. And now Germany is doing a sort of Germany first fiscal package. And that's has caused some angst. And Berlin, generally speaking, is receptive to this and it understands. And my expectation is that we will see some kind of pandemic era type fund to soothe tensions in Europe.
Stanley Pignall is Charlemagne correspondent for The Economist magazine. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.